It is a great joy for me to be back among you all, in a place which I consider to be my second spiritual home. It's a great joy, and I'm very glad to be here with you. God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear it. For your word is light and life eternal. Amen. Now, just before I left Canada for a couple of weeks of rest and resurrection, I would say, in Korea, I was happy to join the largest of the three congregations I serve, Tarry United Church, for their spring buffet. It's their annual spring fundraiser dinner for the congregation. It was also significantly the first time the church was able to gather together with members of the community at large in person for the first time in 3 years. Just the fact that we did it was, I think, the most important part about the buffet, but it was even more important than the tip the inside tip that I learned, which is go to the second sitting. There's extra pie available. It's at times like this that one learns a little bit about inclusivity. We welcomed members of Tower Congregation and the other congregations in our cluster. We welcomed members of the community at large and didn't ask them to which church they belonged or if they belonged to any church. We welcomed members of our sibling churches, like the person from the Presbyterian Church who has been helping us with improving the sound and picture quality of our worship service webcast. We even welcomed the adherent in our congregation who had the reputation of being a little needy and demanding. In fact, when she openly declared that she was coming back to church soon, I thought I saw a couple of our stalwart members give each other that look which said, "Oh my, here we go again." Table fellowship. The decisions about who one eats with was and still can be a very important marker of one's status and station in life. These days, I guess it's the concern of whom you want to be seen associating with. Are you wasting your time on the nobodies, or are you making your presence felt among the movers and shakers? Are you seen with the country bumpkins, or are you hobnobbing with the jet set? Are you seen with those who have suspect morals, or are you with the upright? And in the case of trying to be a good Jew during the era of Roman occupation, do you accommodate to some degree or other the larger culture and society around you? Or are you doing your best to stay pure, one of a distinct group, and making as little concession as possible? In that vein, then, the story of Peter's defense for being associated with uncircumcised, non-kosher-keeping Gentiles, as described in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it's not just a fine piece of oratory. It's a defense of his historic status as an apostle and a member in good standing of Israel. And it's an invitation to his Jewish siblings on the expansive nature of the Jesus movement. It's an invitation to view things differently. Now, if you look through Acts, you might get the sense that the author has been preparing us for this sea change moment, from the story of the descent of the Holy Spirit to the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch and to the call and conversion of Saul. It's becoming clearer and clearer that the Spirit of God will move where it will, and it's not restricted to those who are officially members of the people of God's first covenant. I suppose we could say it is, in a sense, Peter's defense of his testimonial dinner with Gentiles. If we were to look back on our lives as testimonial dinners, in which courses would we see God's movement in our lives, where we're learning something new about the way God acts in the world? This is the image that I've been working with this week, especially as we move closer to June, which is often associated with pride in most in sexual and gender minority communities. And since my holy orders originate with MCC. So I would like to offer you some of the courses in my testimonial dinner, which I identify as being important in my faith development. And I acknowledge that even though this congregation is officially affirming that some of us may have different views on the place of LGBT people in the church, and I accept that, that's perfectly fine. But I still wish to offer this testimony to you as places where I've seen God working in my life. If I were to identify a starter, it was actually an occasion of some embarrassment for me. It was the early 1990s when the United Church of Canada was trying to come to grips with what had happened at its 1988 General Council after it passed the Statement Membership Ministry and Human Sexuality, trying to take a step forward on the issue, which became which was well known in United Church times at that time as the issue. Congregations were splitting. Some people were deeply questioning their loyalty to the United Church of Canada, and a sense of concord was sometimes in short supply. Well, one Sunday, I was having a sandwich at lunch with a classmate from Emmanuel College, where I did my MDiv. She had just done some Sunday supply preaching for the minister of an adjoining pastoral charge, and I was just finishing up my Sunday preaching and my student supply appointment at the same time. So I arranged to invite her to my home to have lunch before she went back to Toronto. So the conversation drifted between varying subjects, and she began speaking about the prospects she had for a new relationship. And I, idiot that I was at the time, said, "Well, do you think he's a prospect for something long term or something like that?" She blushed a bit, hesitated briefly, and said, "Well, he is she." And in turn, I was quietly uttering the prayer, "Dear Jesus, open a huge, wide, deep, cavernous pit in this floor and swallow me up in it." Now, I prided myself on being a hip, accepting and affirming person of gays and lesbians at the time. The transgender component and the non-binary component came later. But I wasn't able to catch those little clues, like how she continually referred to her new interest with they and them pronouns. Not because that person was non-binary, but she felt a need to sort of keep this under wraps for a while. How much I had to learn. The salad or soup, the course to awaken my appetite, came many, many years later. After I'd left Canada, become a don, then recovered my vocation to ministry and became active with an MCC congregation in Seoul. I rediscovered the importance of that table fellowship as I shared lunch with our congregation Sunday after Sunday, either in neighborhood restaurants or in our own shared lunches. I now see that it was in those situations where I began to rehone my skill as someone providing pastoral care, listening to people, to their stories, to the conflict and the anguish, as well as to the joys and the celebrations. The next course didn't go down as easily, at least not at first. It was during my brief stint teaching in Hanoi, Vietnam, when I became active in the Ecumenical Hanoi International Church. I went to a men's fellowship gathering, and it became clear to me that the views of some of the men in the congregation, which they held on issues theological, social, and moral, were rather different from mine. In fact, I was quite sharp with one man when he started to assert his views on the place of LGBT people, and I did my best to cut him off with a sharp, "Watch it! I have LGBT friends." I thought I would need one of those sorbets served just before the main course at formal dinners so that I could cleanse my palate. I wondered how I'd be able to relate to some of those people in the future, let alone how they'd relate to me. But a couple of Sundays afterwards, that same person whom I felt the need to cut off met me at church and just proceeded to ask me about some things about presiding at the service that Sunday, which was his duty for that day. And despite our disagreements, he trusted me as someone who was part of the fellowship and who would be able to help him when he needed assistance. My most recent course, while I would not call it the final dessert, certainly had sweetness to it, for it was when Young Oak and I were able to meet friends in Seoul for afternoon tea after she picked me up from the airport. One of them was a faithful member of Open Doors who exclaimed after he attended his first service with us, "I never knew church could be different from what I grew up with." The other, another Open Doors member and our beloved friend, Eddie, is in her recovery phase after completing her gender affirmation surgery in Thailand. Now, there's always such a kind of a touch of sadness when we meet, which lies under all the joy and happiness that we have of seeing each other again. We all have felt the loss of Open Doors after it closed. And it seems as though Eddie is experiencing what I would term as burnout after years of relentless, almost nonstop activism. Nonetheless, our friendship and fellowship, which we share, is greatly treasured. Even if Eddie finds the sweets of afternoon tea too sweet and says, "I need kimchi." So, here is my testimonial dinner. It often features interaction with people of whom some Christians would say, "How can you eat with them?" I would say these are times when I have not been just fed, but immeasurably nourished. Your testimonial dinner may have different experiences from mine, but that's okay. A couple of things to remember is that none of them, the first one, none of them are possible without the new commandment, or as it's put in Latin, the new mandate, the mandatum from Jesus. Love one another. And all our dinners are in anticipation of the vision of John, where New Jerusalem appears, where God's very self dwells with mortals, and where all pain is taken away. So, let's get supper ready, and let's gather around the table. Amen.